All right, so it's Parshas Chayisara, and it's today is Chav Cheshvan. Chav Cheshvan is the 20th of Cheshvan, is the birthday of the Rebbe Rashab, who's the 5th Chabad Rebbe. So I want to actually, if we have time, learn actually two different things. They're not directly related, but I think they are related. The first thing I want to learn through is... it's a mimer of the Rebbe, but it's based on a mimer that the Rebbe Rashab said. So the one whose birthday is today. His name was Reb Shalom Dov Ber. So my son is Shalom Ber, is named after someone who was named after him. Right, so my grandfather was named after the Rebbe Rashab. Okay, so let's start off learning together the Zohar, piece of Zohar that the Maimer is based on. So the Zohar says, Vayu Chayisara, starts off with the very first Pasuk. I should have actually brought the Pasuk. I'll just tell you the whole Pasuk outside to get the context. The Pasuk says, Vayu Chayisara, it was the life of Sarah, 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. That was the life of Sarah, Shnei Chayisara. It actually repeats it again. The word Chayisara is repeated twice. There's a whole discussion why does it say 100 years, 20 years, 7 years. Rashi talks about it. Okay, we're not going to get involved in that now. So the Zohar says, "Vayu Chayisara." The first question the Zohar has is, "Maishna hacha Sara dichsiv misasa v'oyraisa." What is the difference over here that by Sara it talks about her death in the Torah? Mekol neshe da alma the loik siv hachi misasayun v'oyraisa. That it doesn't record from all the other women of the Torah, that it doesn't record their death, at least not, well, it does say, it talks about Rachel dying, but it doesn't tell us how old they were. It seems to be like something unique about Sarah, that the Torah is trying to teach us with this pasuk. So the Zohar says like this, Tochazi, come and see. Osas Chava la'alma, this is source number two. Osas Chava la'alma, Chava came to the world, is dabkes b'hai chivya. She cleaved, she attached herself to the serpent, the Atul Bazuama, who injected his impurity into her. The Garma Moisali Alma Ulabaila, she caused death for herself, for the world, and for her husband. Right? She brought through the sin of the Chet Eitz Hadas, the tree of knowledge, she brought death. Asa Sarah came. The Nachas v'salakt, she went down and she came up. V'loy is dabkas bay, and it did not cleave to her. Kumadat Omer, like it says in the pasuk, Vayal Avram mitzrayim, Avram went down to Mitzrayim. Hu v'ishtoi v'chol asher loy, him, his wife, and all that was with him. And then it says afterwards they went up from Mitzrayim. They weren't affected by it. Also Noyach la'alma, Noyach came to the world. Maksiv. It says, Vayesht minayayin, Vayishkar, Vayiskal. He drank from wine and was drunken, and he was uncovered, he was in his tent. Begin the Avram, Sarah, Yizdabkobe. Since to Avram and Sarah, the impurity did not become attached to them. Begin kach, therefore, Sarah zochsa lechayin iloin lo lebaila. Sarah obtained eternal life for herself and her husband, ulibna basra, and for her children after her. Oh, sorry. Hadol dichsiv. Okay, it brings a pasuk. And then, if you just skip a few lines over the page, it says, "He is dapkis b'chayin." She attached herself to life. Va'alda di la havachayin. And thus life was made her own. That's what the Zohar says. So based on this Zohar, sorry, I printed the same source twice, so skip the next one. Based on this Zohar, the Rebbe Rashab explains the Pasuk, Vayiyu Chayisara. There's a reason why the Torah emphasizes Chayisara. Because basically what the Zohar is saying is that there are three characters here. There's Chava, there's Noach, and the Sara. Chava and Noach both tried to do something, but were unsuccessful. And Sarah was successful, and she merited to have life. She brought life for us, unlike Chava who brought death. She fixed up, Zayar says, Chava's mistake, and she brought life for herself, for her husband, for the whole world. And that's why it says, Vayu Chayi Sarah. It emphasizes it, right? Why does it end off again, Shnei Chayi Sarah? These are the years of Sarah, because the Zayar says, the life became her own. Which we'll understand what that means. She took ownership of her life. Right, like that life that she merited to became hers. And that's what it repeats again, Shnei Chayusar. So what we have to understand first, what does that mean? Second of all, what's the connection between these three people? Chava, Nayach, and Sarah. Right, what exactly is going on here? So the next page we really see is a printed page of a Maimer. And the Rebbe's approach in explaining this is, this all has to do with Simcha. And he's first going to explain the importance of Simcha, and then he's going to explain how Sarah and Noach went wrong, Chava and Noach went wrong in their Simcha, and Sarah fixed it up and had Simcha that he's supposed to have. And that will put all this together. This is like, it's been a kuda, so inim bazeh. The crux of the idea is this. As the one whose birthday it is, in other words, the Rebbe Rashab, explained in his Maimer, serving Hashem needs to be with Simcha. That's number one. That's very, very important. Serving God needs to be with joy. Because as it says, Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha. As it says in the Pasuk in chapter 100 of Tehillim, it says, serve Hashem with joy. Not only, so the first thing is, that's what it has to be. Not only that, v'atshasimcha ba'avodas Hashem, he ikar gadol. The joy in serving Hashem is a fundamental in serving Hashem. It's not just a part of it, it's not just a necessary ingredient, it's a fundamental. Ki yodua pirusha arizal. As the Arizal explains, Vehuva b'Tanya, and is brought in Tanya, Ala pasuk tachas ashalayavadato es Hashem elikecha b'simcha. So this is a pasuk at the end of the Toichacha, which are the curses. The Torah says, if you don't listen to Hashem, all these terrible things will happen to you. And the Torah ends off saying, why are all these things happening to you? Because you didn't serve Hashem, your God, with when the literal explanation of the pasuk is when it was joyful for you. In other words, when it was good for you, you didn't serve God. But the expression is besimcha. So the Arizal says, no, the pshat isn't that you didn't serve Hashem. You did serve Hashem, but it all's coming to you because you didn't serve Hashem besimcha. In other words, that key component of avodas Hashem was missing. So it's such a fundamental that because of that, all these terrible punishments come. Right? It's just trying to illustrate how important serving Hashem with simcha is. The Isa b'Torah Oir, it says in Torah Oir, the Ma Sheha Arizal Zocha L'Ruach HaKodesh, this that the Arizal, one of the greatest Kabbalists who ever lived, merited to divine inspiration, Hu Al Yidei Simcha Shal Mitzvah, it was through the joy of a mitzvah. Umi Kivan Shezel Sipur b'Torah Shebal Peh Meloshin Torah, since this is a story in Torah, and the word Torah, as the Rebbe emphasized probably thousands of times, comes from the word Hoyra, which means lesson, it's teaching you something. It must be a lesson for every single Yid. In other words, not just a nice fun fact about the Arizal, that he'd merited to Ruach HaKodesh, to divine inspiration, through Simcha Shal Mitzvah, it must be a directive for everyone. In other words, the importance of Simcha. Why is it so important? Because when the avoda is besimcha, when the service of Hashem is besimcha, then your avoda is complete. Without it, you're missing true avoda Hashem if it's not done with simcha. So we see over here that simcha is a fundamental in avoda Hashem. It's not just a nice bonus. It's not just a nice thing to be happy. As the Rambam says, Simcha is an avoida gedoila, it's a big avoida, it's a very fundamental avoida. Also, you can learn the Rambam in two ways. Kulin, it's a big avoida, means a very important avoida, and it's also a big avoida. In other words, it's very hard. It's not easy to be happy. Right? It's easy to have fun. It's not easy to be happy. Those are two different things. Okay. So I'm cutting sort of different parts of this mitzvah. So if you go to the next paragraph. So on the one hand, you have to be besimcha. On the other hand, simcha can also be a problem. Simcha alone can be dangerous. So he says, ach b'yachadim zeh, together with this, ksiv, ivdu es Hashem b'yira. People don't quote that pasuk as often. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, they make songs out of. But there's another pasuk that says, ivdu es Hashem b'yira, serve Hashem with fear. Right?
What
is this also about? It's also a pasuk in Tehillim. It's right at the beginning of Tehillim. I think it's chapter 2 or chapter 3. Yeah. Ella, should the pasuk ze atzmoy mamshich, in that pasuk where it says serve Hashem with fear, that pasuk itself continues vigilu bira'ada, rejoice with trembling. Shitzarech liyo simcha, there has to be simcha. Even in that pasuk itself it says it's be simcha, but it needs to have, needs to be based, it needs to be coming out of ira. Now fear doesn't mean, like, you know, being terrified of God. It means Yira in the works of Hasidus usually is associated with the concept of bittul, right? The idea of subservience to Hashem, negating the self. Why? Why is it so important to have Yira? He says, Ella, kasher simcha hi b'murgash. When the simcha is, he uses a word here, b'murgash, which literally means it's felt. I'll explain in a moment what that means. When it's felt, when the simcha is felt, if sure it's possible, they can come from there to a feeling of ego. And through that, many terrible and negative things that can come out from that. Because ego is the source of all bad things. And therefore, you need to serve Hashem out of fear. Vigilu bir'ada, and rejoice with trembling. Shal yidei zeh tia simcha, then the simcha will be shaloi bibchinas murgash, not felt, ki mibchinas bitl v'anava, will be out of subservience and humility. Ublash nakasu v'yosva anavim Hashem simcha, that the humble people are gathered to Hashem with joy. Sha simcha hi biyachad, the joy comes together with, or even more, he says, oy mitzad, they're actually because of ha'anova v'habitl, the humility and bitl. What does this mean? So he's saying that if you just have simcha, it's what he calls b'murgash, which means it's very much a feeling. Now, a feeling could be a problem, because a feeling means I'm feeling myself. That's what emotions means, right? So if you just have it as a feeling, then it's just another expression of self. And in fact, it can be not only another expression of self, it can even turn into a bigger expression of self. Because simcha, doesn't say this here, but in other words, simcha is it's what's called hispashtos. In other words, it's very much in the mode of being open, spread out, and loud. And I don't mean necessarily loud in volume. I mean, where the person is very much awake, right? And that could be a problem, because that could just be an overemphasis on the self. It could be an overexpression of the self. And therefore he says, as a foundation for simcha, it needs to come out of bittul. It needs to come out of subservience to Hashem, absolute negation of the self. And then if you have simcha, and as later on he says, even if the simcha is felt and is revealed simcha, it's going to be fine, because it's coming as a result of humility, because you've gotten rid of the ego, you've gotten rid of the self, and then the simcha could be a true simcha. See, now he goes and connects that with Chava, Noach, and Sar. So Kizem Mivar, Bal Yoima Yiledes, Mamori Hanal. According to this, the Rebbe Rashab explains in his Maimer, Inyin osas chava, chava came, osas sara, sara came, shatzad ashava shubahem, what's the common denominator between them? Hushirotza lifoil inyin asimcha. they wanted to bring down this idea of simcha. They wanted to affect true simcha. How do we see that? K'mayim Razal, like our sages tell us, Kabi Chava about Chava, Eshkol shel anovim sochata v'nosnoloi. What was the Eitz Hadas? The tree of knowledge. What was it? So there's actually four opinions. None of them are an apple. It wasn't an apple. That's a Christian version. It was, according to some opinions, an esrig. The opinion he's bringing here is that it was grapes. And she squeezed the grapes and gave it to him to drink. In other words, it was wine. Yeah. Ubin noyach ksiv. By noyach it says, Vayita kerem. He planted a vineyard. Vayesht min ayayin. He drank from the wine. No, the yayin. Inyin asimcha. Wine is very much synonymous with the concept of simcha. Kum shekasov, as it says in the pasuk, yayin ham nesameach elikim v'anoshim. The wine that brings joy to people. Ella, what's the problem? By Chava, the joy was in a way of murgosh. It was an expression of the self. How do we see that? The Bechava ksiv by Chava, it says, Vateire ha'isha ki toiva eitz l'maichol b'chitayvo. The woman saw, Chava saw, that the fruit of the tree is good to eat and that it's a taiva. She had a desire for it. She had a temptation. She desired it. Desire, shezeu inyan hargosha. Desire is the ultimate expression of feeling. It's the I want, right? It came out of a selfish desire of wanting, of desiring, of lusting after something. The noyach rotz l'sakin es chet etzadas. Noyach wanted to fix this sin of the etzadas. Shu inyan hargosha. Al yidei argasha, v'lo also biyadoi. He wanted to fix it, but it didn't really work for him. Why? Yesh min hayayin, his drinking of wine, hevi oisai, brought him loy l'simcha shvebchinas bittel. It didn't bring him to simcha, which came out of bittel. Yayin am esameach, ki'im l'vayishkar, he got drunk. Yayin am shaker. Instead of being wine that brought joy, it was wine that brought drunkenness. Now, it says, V'hagam d'b'shichrus u'heder hargosha. Even though drunkenness is the opposite of feeling, in other words, it's numbing the feeling. It's like, I don't even know what's happening with myself right now. He says, but that's not the lack of feeling that we're talking about. Aval heder hargosha shabazeh. That numbing of the hargosha, huloy mitzad ha'anova v'habitl. That's not coming from humility and subservience. It's coming from a confusion of the mind. In other words, not always negating self is a healthy thing. It depends what you mean by negating self. No, I mean, negating self is a good thing, but it depends what you mean by that. If you just drink yourself into oblivion, yeah, you've negated yourself. You have no idea what's happening with yourself right now. But that's not coming from the bittel. That's just coming from, you just turned off the system. Right? You just totally. Sorry? Yeah. Yeah, even on a soul level, you've just totally switched off your mind. You've switched off your heart. That's not coming from a good place. So how do you actually fix it up? Atikun al chet etzadas inyan hargosha nasa yidei sora dafka. The fixing of the chet etzadas came through sora. Kamavur b'Kabbalah, as it explains in Kabbalah, Shesora tikna mashakil kala chava. Sora fixed what Chava messed up. How so? The Sora, who bechinas malchus. Sora is synonymous with the level we call malchus, right? Which is the 10th sphere. Shelochein nikra Sora, that's why she's called Sora. Meloshim Sorora. The word Sora actually means like a minister, like a king. Sora, or in fact, it's the Sarai and Sora. Sarai means my minister, my ruler. Sora just means ruler, right? Malchus is inyan habitl. Chassidus explains that Malchus is the concept of bittul. Now's not really the time to get into this. I'm sure my father discussed this in the past, but the idea of Malchus is the 10th sphera is to receive from all the other spheres, right? And then to give birth. And then to give birth to something else, right? To give to someone, right? So the idea of Malchus, in order to receive, it's the idea that it itself is nothing. In fact, it says that Malchus is like the moon, right? The moon has no light of its own. If it has light of its own, it's not going to receive the light of its sun. The expression is less lo migar moklum. It has nothing of its own, right? So Malchus is the idea of receiving, the idea of negating the self entirely, and that's the idea of bittul. Zeu is of Elachain, he says, therefore, al yodah, through her, nase hatikun, it fixed up the chet etzadas, simcha shebibchinas bittul. It was simcha coming from Malchus, coming from bittul. Zeu osa sara v'nochast v'solakt. Therefore, Sarah came and she went down, but managed to come up. She didn't get affected. Why? Shemitzana bittul shebimalchus. Because of the bittul of Malchus, hine gam kishi yoyredes lamata. Even when it comes down, hayirida nochas, the descent, he beshvila aliyah, is for the ascent, which comes afterwards. The yirida sa malchus lamata. This is more of a Kabbalistic idea. It says that Malchus is the last level of the world of Atzilus, which is the first world. Right? So there's 10 powers, and Malchus is the last level. And Malchus, so to speak, receives everything from Atzilus and then takes it down to the next world. So Kabbalistically, what that means is, so in other words, it goes down, it is almost like a Yerida in Malchus. One of the ideas of Malchus is to bring whatever it has to the next world. But it doesn't affect it because it's, again, it's not its own thing, it's totally bottle to who he who is sending it. And he says, this is the way it was also physically, they went to Mitzrayim, they came out with all the sheep and the cattle, and they brought everything with them. In other words, representing, an idea wasn't just to go down to Mitzrayim, the idea was to elevate Mitzrayim and bring it back up with them. And he says, that's what it means, she merited to eternal life. In other words, she connected, she fixed up the chet etz hadas, because the simcha of Chava brings to death, in other words, spiritual death. The simcha of Sarah brings to life. And even more than that, the life became hers, says the law of Achayin, she took ownership of the life. Meaning, what he says over here, that means is, it means that the simcha can even be felt and not be a problem. In other words, it can permeate, it can come back into herself. It can. She can feel it in her mind, in her heart, and it won't be ego because she's negated the ego already. Right? The ego won't get in the way. So what do we see over here? We see over here that the message of Sarah is this concept of simcha that comes from bittul. Right? Simcha that comes not as a result of desire of my own ego, but it comes true simcha, true joy, in serving Hashem. So what I want to do is I want to connect this to something else entirely. There's no direct connection. I think that, yeah.
Hagar with her two, Becca. Have you ever seen any explanation in Chassidus about that?
No, but it would fit with this idea that she took whatever was good in Mitzrayim and took it out. Hagar was actually not such a bad person. She says she was willing to leave behind royalty in order to connect to Avraham Avinu. So I guess it would fit with this idea as well. She took out from Mitzrayim any sparks of holiness that was there. She took with her, as she left. So, how do we have this simcha? Right. In other words, what it's saying, in other words, is that real simcha comes from a bittul tasha, an awareness that we're nothing and Hashem is everything, and we give ourselves over to Hashem, and that brings true simcha. So, what does that mean on a practical level? Right. What does that mean? You know, we all go through hard things. Life throws at us many, many different things. How do we stay b'simcha? If simcha is such an important thing, how do we make sure we retain that joy? So let's go to the other part of the parasha. So the parasha really deals with two things. It deals with Sarah passing away and her burial. And then it deals with Yitzchak marrying Rivka. At great length. Right? The whole story of Eliezer being sent to find a wife for Yitzchak, the whole story of the well. He finds Rivka, he brings her back, she marries Yitzchak. So when Avram Avinu is telling Eliezer to go find him a wife, he says like this. He says, "Ki el artsi vel meiladeti." This is Avram Avinu talking. Go to my land, my birthplace. You shall go. V'lakachta isha libni liYitzchak. Go take a wife for my son Yitzchak. Vayoyimer elavo evet. The evet said. The servant Eliezer said to him, "Ulai lo yisoyve ha isha laleches acharai." Maybe the woman won't want to go after me. No, it's come with me. El oretz azois, to this land. Hoshev oshev es bincha el oretz asher yitzasa misham. Should I bring your son there? Maybe she won't want to leave her house. Maybe she won't want to leave her family. Maybe I'll just slap your son there. But Yoimre lov Avram. Avram told him, "Yishar melecha pentoshev es bnishama." He says, in other words, like, no way can you bring my son there. Are you worried you might not be successful? So here he says very powerful words. It says, "Hashem elikei ashamayim, asher lekachani mi beis avi umi eretz miladati." Hashem, the God of the heavens, who took me out of my father's house, my birthplace. "Vasher diberli," you spoke to me. "Vasher nishbeli lemeris," who took an oath to me, saying, "Lezaracha eting esaretz azois," to your descendants, I will give this land. "Hu yishlach malochoi lefanecha," he will send his angel or his messenger before you. "V'lokachto isha libni misham," and you will take a wife for my son from there. Okay, this is Avram Avinu's words to Eliezer. Now, Eliezer comes there.
Doesn't explain why I can't.
Because the women of Canaan, they were evil, they were idol worshippers, pagan worshippers. Avram Avinu wanted someone from his own family, which weren't all that great either, but at least he found Yitzchak, he found Rivka, who was still true to Avram Avinu's way of life. Okay, then Eliezer goes, and there's the whole story, davens to Hashem, even before he finishes davening, Rivka comes out, he makes a whole condition about the water, and then he comes to Besuel's house, Rivka's father's house, and he goes through the whole story again, which is very unusual for the Torah, as we'll see. Rashi points this out, based on Chazal. Usually the Torah does not have any extra words, and here we see the story is repeated twice. Eliezer goes, starts the whole story again. Avraham Avinu told me this, and he sent me this, and I came here, and this is what happened, right? Could have just said Eliezer told him whatever all that happened, right? But nothing to that. However, there are differences. He repeats the story, but he repeats it differently. So he says, source number five, Va'oymer al Adoni. He says about himself, Eliezer is talking now. "I said to my master, Ulai loisele cha'isha acharoi. Maybe the woman won't want to come after me. Vayoymer Eloi," and he said to me, "Hashem asher salachti lefonov," the God who has gone before me, "yishlach malachoi itoch," he will send his malach with you. "V'itzliach darkech," and you'll be successful. "Lakach v'ishu libni mimishvachti v'mishavi," and you'll take a woman from a wife from my son, from my family, from my father's house. So one of the differences is that when Avram Avinu tells him that Hashem will send a malach, he says, "will send a malach lifanecha," before you. When he talks to Besuel, he says, "Yishlach malachoi itoch." He says that Avram Avinu said, Hashem will send a malach with you. Is it before you? You know, is the malach going ahead of Eliezer? Or is the malach going with Eliezer? Seems to contradict what actually happened. So the Rebbe has a beautiful talk, which, I don't know what year was that actually. So this week, Chai Sara, usually Parshas Chai Sara, it's not always Parshas Chai Sara actually, it's always Shabbos Mevorach and Kislev, is also the week of the Kinnas HaShluchim, right, which my father just went to, the conference of all the Shluchim. And the Rebbe would very often dedicate talks then to, this happened more in the 80s, it became very big in the later 80s, but even in the early 80s it happened, would talk about this concept of shlichus, sending out people to the whole world. And obviously, whatever he said then is not only relevant to people who are officially shluchim, and that's what they do for a living, but it refers to everyone, as the Rebbe said many, many times, that every single Jew is a shliach. Every single Jew is sent by Hashem to this world. to transform the world. That is the mission of every single Jew, is a shliach of Hashem. And this concept of shlichus, the first place in the Torah where we find it, is by Eliezer. Avraham Avinu sent a shliach to find a wife for Yitzchak. And it's not just, sent him to make a shidduch, right? I mean, it's that also. But it's really what it is, if you think about it, is he's sending him on a shlichus to make sure that the Jewish nation continues. Right? In other words, it's really the idea of making sure that the Jewish story actually happens. So Eliezer is the ultimate shliach. He's going to Haran. He's going to one of the worst places on planet Earth, as Rashi says, was Mamish, the one of the worst places, to find Rivka. Right? In other words, to make sure that to find godliness, to find the Likus everywhere, and to reveal Hashem everywhere, and make sure every Jew is part of the Jewish nation, etc. The problem is, it's not easy, right? Our mission as Jews in this world is not simple. So we turn to the one who sends us, in this case it was Avraham Avinu, but in our case it's Hashem. And we say, obviously Avraham Avinu represents Hashem. And he said, maybe it won't work. Maybe it won't be successful, right? Maybe she won't want to come after me. Maybe there'll be difficulties. It'll be impossible to actually fulfill my mission. So Avraham Avinu says to Eliezer, not only I'm telling you you'll be successful, and not only Hashem will help you, but Hashem will send a malach before you. What does that mean, a malach before you? It means that it's almost as if the mission is already done before you get there. It's almost like the video has been taken. We to use a very old expression, we rewinded it, right? And now we're just fast forwarding it, right? In other words, we're it's happened already. I've sent a malach before you to take care of everything. All I need you is to be the one on the ground technically to make it happen. But really, it's already happened. You're just the hands and the feet to orchestrate it. But you're not the one doing it. I'm the one doing it, Hashem says. What's a malach? A malach is a shliach of Hashem, right? In other words, it's a godly power, right? So as Hashem is saying, don't worry, it's done already. If I'm sending you on a shlichus, if I'm sending you on a mission, I'm not only going to help you, it's done already. You just have to go and be the one to do the technical work. And we actually see that throughout the whole story. It's not just Eliezer was successful. Every part of it was like, for example, it says he davened. Before he finished davening, Rivka already came out. What's the idea? Why does the Torah emphasize that? It's almost trying to say, like, the story is already in play. It's already in motion. Before you even finish asking, it already happened. And the whole thing, the whole way it happened was that Rivka came out, and she gave the water and all that stuff. A lot of miracles happened. It says he had an unbelievable kvitza saderech. He managed to travel a very great distance in a very short amount of time. Right? That's what Avraham Avinu means, Yishlach malachai lefanecha. Hashem will send his malach before you. Now, that's for Eliezer to know. The shliach needs to know that. However, let's say he comes to Besuah. Now, just before I say that, although that's true, that even before you go on Yishlichas, it's already been successful. You just have to do it, but it's already been done. However, Hashem does want you to do it. That's part of the... In other words, if you can ask a question, that's the case. So why send Eliezer at all? Just make Rivka come to Yitzchak. Just Hashem should put it in her mind, I want to go marry Yitzchak, right? No, because part of the Kavanah, part of Hashem's intent, is that it should be done through us. That's the whole idea of Dira B'tachtoinim, being a dwelling place in a lowly world, means that the world itself needs to do it. You can't just be, Hashem can't just impose it on the world, right? So it's necessary for Eliezer to actually go and do it. And part of going and doing it means that you have to do it in the way that you think is the best way naturally. Although you know that Hashem is going to take care of however he wants to, and it's going to happen anyway. But you have to do what you need to do. So Yitzchak comes to Besuah, and he's telling him the whole story. And he's thinking, if I tell him that Avraham Avinu said that Hashem already sent the Malach before him, and it's a done deal already, so the soul will say, so why are you talking to me? Why do you need me to consent? Let's just see what happens. What will happen? Rivka will be magically transported to where she needs to be, if you're correct. So therefore, he didn't use that expression. When he's talking to Besuel, he said, Yishlach malachai itoch. Hashem says, Avraham Avinu says, Hashem will send a malach with you. With you means, the story hasn't happened. He's helping. Yeah, Hashem is helping me, but we still have to talk, we still have to deal with it. In reality, the truth is, the whole conversation was actually a waste of time. It was going to happen anyway. But he couldn't say that to Besuel, because when you're actually dealing with the world, you have to deal with the world as if the world actually is a real reality. That's the way Hashem wants us to deal with the world. But it isn't really. Really, it's Yishlach Malachai Lefanecha. Right. And that also, he says, which is actually an unbelievable thing, right? Because we know that a fundamental in Torah is the concept of Bechira, of free choice, right? So Rivka, you would think, had free choice. So how can you guarantee that she's going to come? So without getting into the philosophy behind it. But the bottom line is that in this situation, Hashem said, I'm sending you on a mission. Yishlach malachai lefanecha. I'm guaranteeing you it's going to happen. There's an expression that Rashi brings. Rashi says, why does the Torah repeat the whole thing twice? He says, Yofer sichoson shel avdei avos. The talking, the speech of the servants of the avos is more precious to Hashem mitoyrosan shel banim than the Torah of the children. What does that mean? The Torah of the children means the Torah of the Jewish people. There, Hashem could put a whole mitzvah in one word. But here, the speech of the servants of the avos is repeated twice. It's obviously more precious to Hashem, so to speak. Let's cut to the Torah repeated twice. What does that mean? So he explains on a deeper level what that means is we see something here which almost supersedes what the Torah does. Torah says there's bechiras, everyone has free choice. Here Hashem is saying to the avdei avos, yeah, however you square the circle, but the bottom line is I'm telling you Rivka's going to come with you. You're going to be successful. However, this is not just avdei avos. This was told to us, right? It's in our Torah. So obviously that's relevant to us as well. So he says we have to also learn from this. In other words, we have to go into the world with this approach. We have to go into the world with the approach that if we're given a mission from Hashem, not only is Hashem with us, He's done it already. We just have to technically do it, because that's what Hashem wants. That's just part of the process. But it's we have to press play, but it's done already. How do we do that? By being Avdei Avos. That's the expression. Avdei, the servant of the Avos. Meaning, we have to be an Eved. Meaning that we have to put our souls totally on the side. Being a slave means that I don't have my own life. I'm a slave. I'm serving someone else. This whole system only works if you totally give yourself over to Hashem. If you put yourself in Hashem's world. If you don't get stuck in yourself, in your own plans, in your own ego, in your own way of doing things. And you become an avdei avos. And he says also, the expression is sichoson. Sichoson means the speech. The word sicha, it says, can also mean tefillah, davening. The idea of recognizing that everything comes from Hashem. When we do that, then it's yishlach malachai lefanecha. Hashem says his malach before you. Already a done deal. So it's just you need to just move the pieces. But it's which is an unbelievable chizuk. It's going back to the concept of simcha. We go out into the world and we fill our mission a basic criteria of doing your mission is being besimcha. And the only way to be besimcha is to give yourself over to Hashem, to be avdei avos, to know that yishlach malachai lefanecha. That Hashem is not only with us, but He's actually, He's everything. He's not only with us who and we are doing it, He's even doing it. We just have to technically do it because that's what Hashem wants, but He's doing it all. And we go with that attitude into the world and we fulfill our shlichus, whatever our shlichus is, I mean, all of our shlichus ultimately is the same thing, is to bring Hashem into the world. How everyone does that is different. But it's the same idea that we could be successful and we could do it b'simcha. This is something, by the way, that the Rebbe emphasized. I'm taking my phone for a reason because I want to actually read you something. That the Rebbe very much emphasized to shluchim all the time. Many times shluchim wrote to the Rebbe thing, you know, all their problems and financial problems, and it's terrible and it's very hard and it's not working. So many stories. Let's see if I can find this. Let's give you one example here. This is like very, very typical. Here we go. No. Here we go. So it says that there was a shliach by the name of Rabbi Yaakov Shmulevitz. He wrote to the Rebbe about a difficult financial situation of his Chabad house, obviously something very serious. And he ended his letter with three words. He says, Me'ayin Yovoy Ezri, which is borrowing an expression from Tehillim, chapter 121, from where will my help come? In other words, he's like, he's desperate. He has no idea how this is going to work out. So the Rebbe replied to him in Hebrew, Aleph, number one, Nene b'Tehillim al-Asar. The answer is in Tehillim, in that very place. If you ask me a question, Me'ayin Yovei Ezri, look at what the pasuk continues. The pasuk says, Ezri Me'im Hashem Oysa Shemayim Varetz. Help comes from Hashem, the creator of heaven and earth. In other words, it's almost like, what are you saying? Like, what are you so desperate about? It's fine, Hashem will take. There's like hundreds of these type of answers. Like, why are you worried? Why are you concerned? It's not easy, but we all have to remember that Hashem is with us, and that's where simcha comes from. That's the idea. Simcha doesn't come from having fun or chava style or nayach style. It's sara style. It's malchus, total bittul. Give yourself over to Hashem. Go in Hashem's world, and everything's great, right?